Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe. Nick Kieser kicking off hour two. We are joined with NFL Network analyst Chad Ryder. Chad, how are we doing this morning?
Oh, we're doing excellent. The draft is almost here. Very excited. And, this is my time of year.
I can imagine. So, Chad, we'll get right into it here. In Nashville, one of the biggest conversations is, what will our local team do? Will they trade up to get a quarterback? And over the last couple of days, there's been some smoke as to if the Houston Texans will end up taking a quarterback at number two overall. What are your thoughts on that? Do you believe that they still are in that quarterback contention, or think that they could potentially pass on it this year?
Well, I mean, you know, anything's possible, which is why we love the draft, right? Because we don't know until it happens. But historically, teams that have two first-round picks, it's happened where they've taken a quarterback with their second pick rather than their first. But typically, that's more in the, you know, in the 20s and the later part of the round, maybe, where the top couple of quarterbacks have gone and they're looking for that next tier. I would be pretty surprised if the Texans didn't take a quarterback at two and, meet another need at their 12th pick. So I'm guessing they will. The trade spot is really Arizona. And if somebody, whatever team it is, they're getting tons of calls right now to try, and they'll try to get the best deal they can. So that would be where I would think that the move up would be.
Chad, the way I describe this quarterback class, other than CJ Stroud and Bryce Young, is very, very polarizing. You got Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, and some are even pushing Hendon Hooker up there with those two as well. How do you view this quarterback class? And out of the three that I just mentioned, who do you believe will translate the best into the pros?
Well, I've said for a few weeks now that Anthony Richardson could be the best player in the class. I think that he is the kind of playmaker that teams can overlook sometimes during the draft process and then turn out to be an excellent player. For example, Mitch Trubisky versus Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
And I think Richardson should be in the conversation for number one, and that he, should be one of the top three picks in this draft. I think Levis reminds me more of a Jay Cutler type of player that will be in that 10 to 14 range, and then Hendon Hooker will probably be the next guy up somewhere in the later third part of the round. But they all have the ability to become good NFL quarterbacks, and I think teams will recognize that and they'll go pretty high because of it.
We're talking to Chad Ryder from the NFL Network. Chad, we've seen the last couple years be stacked atop the draft with some really talented receivers. This year's a little bit different, where we see receivers kind of going later towards the end of the first round. Do you think there is a true number one receiver in this draft? And what would be the number one receiver that you would select off the board this year?
I think Jackson Smith and Jigbo will be a number one receiver. I think, he's not necessarily the fastest guy in terms of straight line speed, but his agility, his ability to, find holes in zones, his reliability as a receiver. Look, this guy came in as a freshman and kept Jameson Williams on the bench, who could have won the Heisman at Alabama 2 years ago. So I think he is a special player, and I think he'll become one special player. And I think anywhere between Atlanta at eight and Houston at 12, he'll come off the board, and he's going to make an impact as a rookie.
Now, when it comes to this time of year, there's so much smoke screen and so much deception that goes on when it comes to the NFL draft. Which team do you see as a surprise team, or a team that nobody is really looking at, that can make a huge splash come draft night?
Well, I'll tell you what, I know a lot of people think Bijan Robinson, the running back from Texas, will go in the 20s or something, but I've had him in my top 10 to 12 the whole time, and I think a team like Arizona If they trade down between one and, you know, six, seven spots, depending on the team that they trade with, I think they took a serious look at Bijan Robinson. And, you know, there's a lot of talented edge rushers up there, so they may go that way. But if you're looking for a surprise that I've been looking for a while, that would be the main surprise that people really aren't talking about right now.
We've got Chad Ryder on from the NFL Network with us. You've been a draft follower for over 25 years in researching the draft. Who do you think this year, outside of the quarterback position, Chad, is the most interesting player in your book? Who do you think, you know, could be maybe underrated, not viewed as much, or just somebody that you believe is going to be a star someday?
Well, I think really a lot of negative talk about Jalen Carter out of Georgia, and, you know, it's understandable. But he's got the chance to be really special in the NFL, and I think he matures as he gets to his new team, becomes a professional, and really and just starts to use his talent to its maximum. And I think he's got a chance to be a very special player. And the other guy I'll note is Lucas Van Ness from Iowa. He's just starting to become what he's going to become someday. And a team picking him, and his game isn't necessarily like a J.J. Watt type game, but he reminds me a lot of J.J. coming out, because some teams weren't sure. Like, he went 11th, right? And so he should have gone higher. But, you know, some teams aren't sure what he's going to become and where he plays and all that. But I think, honestly, a guy like Van Ness is going to, you know, whether he plays at five technique, whether he plays inside or outside, eventually it's just going to turn out that he's one of the best players in this class.
Now, I want to kind of switch over to the offensive lineman into this draft, because there's a lot of interesting prospects, but the guy that I've been seeing kind of going up and down on various different mock drafts is Peter Skoronski. I was reading your multi-round mock draft from a few days ago, and you had Peter Skoronski going at 13 to the New York Jets. Do you think that he will genuinely fall out of the top 10? And is that more or less because of his size and arm length and that he might play guard? Or what's kind of the telltale about him as a prospect?
Yeah, I think I've had him going between 11. Like, for he was my pick for Tennessee, you know, coming out of the gate from the combine. So I think he goes in the 11 to 13 range. And like his, you know, former teammate Rashawn Slater coming out, teams have enough question marks about the size and the arm length and his viability as a left tackle to, you know, make him available. Now, could Chicago take him at 9? Sure. I mean, he's a really good player. But I think that arm, you know, a guy with his length doesn't get picked in the top 10 very often. The last guy was Robert Gallery many years ago coming out of Iowa, and that pick didn't turn out so great. So I think he's a really good player that'll probably play guard or center. You know, bright guy who could step into the center spot. And so I think that 11 to 13 is kind of his range.
We've got Chad Ryder on with the NFL Network on with us. So, Chad, Ian Rappaport just came out and said that South Carolina cornerback Cam Smith is going on a visit to the Tennessee Titans today, and then he will head to the Jags tomorrow. Is there anything specifically you know about him as a prospect and what he can bring to the NFL level?
Yeah, versatile guy. He'll play at about 180 or so pounds, but he's so physical. And such a competitive player. You can play him in the slot. You can play him outside. Some teams may look at him at playing some deep safety. So really, really good player. And I think that would be a pick for the Titans. That would be if they got a chance to move up in the second round, for example, and he's still on the board. That would be a great pick for him. You know, or if they trade down out of 11 and get more into the – because – You know, there's a lot of talk about them trading up, but I think just as likely is a trade down if they decide, you know, we're not interested in Levis and Hooker at this point. Then, you know, they could move down into an area where they could get Cam Smith. And, you know, he's going to be a fantastic pro. I've had him in my first round since the beginning. And I think he's just one of these competitive guys, tough guys that won't back down from any receiver.
And you think he would be available early second round?
Potentially. There's, you know, because the difference between the 24th pick and the 48th pick in this draft, and in most drafts, is pretty, you know, they're pretty similar players. So he could go late first, or he could drop, you know, into the first few parts of the second round, and Tennessee might be able to go and get him.
Lastly here for you, Chad, a lot of fans here in Tennessee are really interested with Hendon Hooker, as he had an excellent season with the Vols this past year. What is it about Hendon Hooker that kind of puts him outside of that top four range, to where, you know, teams are kind of looking at him as a late first round, an early second round pick? Why is that a guy like that that had so much production in college is kind of falling out of the pack of those top four quarterbacks?
Well, I mean, he was never in the pack to start with. And I think, you know, it's sort of interesting how this works, how guys have a tough time breaking into that top group if they weren't there to start with in some years. Certainly in that, I mean, teams are going to wonder about what he's going to do outside of Josh Heupel's offense. And that's going to be one of the questions. You know, coming off the non-contact injury, you know, for a guy that part of his game, not his main game, he's a pocket guy, but part of his game is scrambling, mm-hmm. And, you know, and getting out there and striding for big games when he's get the opportunity. So it's going to be interesting. That's kind of where he's at. Now, there are some guys that'll say, you know, I don't think there's a consensus about where he falls. I think some people would put him third or fourth in that group, and some people would put him, you know, fifth. So it won't shock me if somebody decides, like, Tampa Bay or somebody trades up into the late teens to get him. There might be a team that really likes him that much. But I think, really, in terms of, you know, he was more considered in that Geno Smith, kind of that second round area for most teams, I think. And look, quarterbacks get pushed up in mock drafts at the end of the year, right? It happens every time. And sometimes they get picked in the first, and sometimes they end up as second or third round picks. So there's no guarantees of anything at this point. But, you know, he, as you said, he's very productive this year when he's in the pocket, when everything around him is good and he doesn't have to move a lot. When he's making that first read and getting rid of the ball, he does very well. So there's a lot of things he does really well, and he could become a starting quarterback in the league. But, you know, sometimes we get excited about these guys and push them into the first round. So it's going to be really interesting to see where he ends up going.
Chad, just one last question before we let you go. How do you view Jalin Hyatt and Cedric Tillman, two wide receivers out of Tennessee? Cedric was hurt this past season, and Jalin Hyatt took a huge leap forward. But who do you think will translate better into the NFL?
Well, I think especially for receivers, it's team fit is really important. So if Hyatt ends up with the Chiefs, which I've had them moving up to get him, you know, it's a great fit for him because he's the deep threat that they need. He can make some plays after the catch on screens. A lot of people think he's just a deep threat guy, but, you know, he can do a little bit of that as well. So if he gets with the Chiefs, you know, he's going to be really, really productive right away. And I, you know, generally I like him. I don't think he's the top of the heap here, but I think in the right system, he's going to be really explosive. I love Cedric Tillman. He is underrated. He's not the fastest guy again, but he's a big, thick body. And I really like, he went up against Kelee Ringo, you know, Georgia this year, and his stop routes, like, Kelee could not stay with him. And that kind of short area quickness for a guy who's a big like that, big broad. We used to call those guys West Coast possession receivers.
Love
but
it.
Honestly, I think he can do more than that. So I really like him, probably in the second round, maybe slips into the third, but he's going to be a great player either way.
Chad Ryder, thanks for joining us, NFL Network analyst. We appreciate you coming on with us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for the invite.
Yeah, of course. That was Chad Ryder, NFL Network analyst, and the NFL Network will provide live coverage of the 2023 NFL Draft in Kansas City, April 27th, 29th. Inching closer to that, June. You got a lot to recap on the other side of Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, and the Game Nashville app.